Hey there, sports history fan. This is Arnie Chapman, host of the Football History Dude podcast, right here on the Sports History Network. Now, before we jump into another sports history adventure, let me tell you about this episode's sponsor. We partnered with Rochester Sports Autographs, the largest JSA authenticated autograph distributor in the United States, where you can get deals on over 30,000 autographed sports collectibles. They even have film, music, and other entertainment autographs on the site, so there's something for everyone. Perhaps you're looking for a gift for Mother's Day, or maybe Father's Day. Heck, who needs a holiday as an excuse to give a piece of sports history to your loved ones? Or how about yourself? Today seems like a great day to add to your sports cave, right? But how is RSA able to offer such great deals on JSA authentication, you ask? Well, they do this by making deals directly with athletes, so there are no extra markups, and they choose to pass these savings on to the customer. All orders from Rochester Sports Autographs are top quality and shipped to your door with top authentication and money-back guarantee. And to make sure RSA knows that the Sports History Network sent you, we created a special link for you. All you have to do is head to shoprsa.com/SHN. Again, that's shoprsa.com/SHN. Head over there to get your piece of sports history today.
October 28th in football history is a big day, as many great things happened. We had the start of the Team of Destiny, the longest punt in college football history, and much more with Legends of the Game coming up in just a moment. PigskinDispatch.com is a proud affiliate of the Sports History Network, the headquarters of sports yesteryear. This is the Pigskin Daily History Dispatch, a podcast that covers the anniversaries of American football events throughout history on a day-to-day basis. This is your host, Darren Hayes, and we're broadcasting from the Pig Pen in Western Pennsylvania, bringing you the memories of the gridiron, one day at a time. So, with Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff supplying us with the tunes, let's go no huddle through today's football history headlines. Hello, my football friends. This is Darren Hayes of PigskinDispatch.com, and we have a great show today. Just like we said in the intro, October 28th is one of the greatest days in football history for some super events and plays that happened over time, and we're going to get right at it. October 28th, 1922, at Stagg Field in Chicago, Illinois, the Princeton and University of Chicago played the first game to be nationally broadcast on radio. In 1922, Coach Amos Alonzo Stagg's Chicago Maroons were the Big Ten powerhouse, and Princeton was one of the top-ranked teams in the East. The extremely rare East-West showdown provided a perfect opportunity to expand radio broadcasting. According to an article found on Princeton.edu, Princeton went up early, but John Thomas, the Maroons' bruising runner, wore down a Tiger defense and scored three touchdowns to build an 18-7 Chicago lead. The Tigers' luck turned early in the fourth quarter when Howdy Gray returned a fumble 42 yards to the end zone. Minutes later, Harry Crum completed a Princeton drive with his second touchdown of the day, putting the Tigers ahead 21-18. Then it all came down to the Tigers' defense. Making use of its vicious passing attack, Stagg's team reached the Princeton 7-yard line. Three strong runs later, it put the ball within a foot of the goal line, setting up a legendary fourth and goal situation. It would end up being three undersized defenders from Princeton's who made a play that would define one of the Tigers' most storied football teams, dubbed the Team of Destiny, when Charlie Caldwell, Harlan Pink Baker, and Oliver Alford stopped the University of Chicago fullback John Thomas at the goal line on fourth down, preserving an improbable 21-18 Princeton win. And it all was caught on radio, and the love of fans listening to the football broadcast began. Princeton would live up to that Team of Destiny moniker as they later defeated both rivals Yale and Harvard to finish a season 8-0 and share what is believed at the time to have reached the national championship status alongside an undefeated University of California team, amongst others. Our next headline takes place on October 28, 1934 at Ebbets Field in Brooklyn, New York. It was one of only four games in NFL history that had no penalty flags thrown. The Brooklyn Dodgers 21, Pittsburgh Pirates 3. Perhaps it was the winter-like conditions that played a role in why referee Tom Thorpe never dropped a flag. That's how the story goes on Pro Football Hall of Fame's website account of the story. The Dodgers cruised through the afternoon and snapped a three-game losing streak thanks in part to Jack Grossman's 75-yard touchdown run late in the first quarter. Whether the penalty flags were frozen in the officials' pockets or not, it's one of only four in NFL history without a penalty flag. Our next history headline takes place on October 28, 1950, Nevada University's Mackey Stadium. In a story from NCAA.com's website, Loyola scored two early touchdowns against the winless University of Nevada team. Things evidently did not get much better for the Wolfpack as their next offensive possession found them with a fourth and long from their own one-yard line. That's when the team's bright spot stepped onto the field, punter Pat Brady. Being careful to keep his feet inside the end line, Brady took the long snap from center in his own end zone, and the southpaw booted a beauty. His punt sailed through the thin Nevada air, over the head of the surprised Loyola return man, past midfield, until it stuck the turf about the Loyola 25-yard line and kept bouncing and rolling until it stopped 2 feet from the goal line. The 4,000 fans in attendance just witnessed Nevada punter Pat Brady kicking an unbelievable NCAA record 99-yard punt. Unfortunately, the poor field position did not stop Loyola's offense as they scored a few plays later for their third touchdown in the first quarter, and subsequently, the Wolfpack lost to the Lions 34-7. Our next story comes from the National Football Foundation's website. October 28, 1958, the National Football Foundation and College Hall of Fame hosts its first annual awards banquet in what is now known as the Waldorf Astoria in New York City, New York. President Dwight D. Eisenhower becomes the first recipient of the coveted gold medal and the highest individual award bestowed by the NFF, which recognizes an outstanding American who has contributed significantly to the sport of college football and our country. Subsequently, seven U.S. presidents and many other outstanding Americans, including John Wayne, Norman Schwarzkopf, and General Tommy R. Franks, have also been honored with the prestigious award. Gridiron guys and girls, we want to hear about how you feel about the show. We want you to contact us at pigskindispatch@gmail.com. Check us out on Facebook at the Pigskin Dispatch. Give us an IM on there. And check us out on Facebook. We'd love to hear from you. So again, pigskindispatch@gmail.com. Now here's a message from one of my friends at the Sports History Network.
Do you wish you knew more about the 100 seasons of the NFL? You're in luck because you found the Football History Dude podcast, where each episode is a journey back in time to learn about the rich history of the NFL. From the founding of the league in an auto showroom, all the way to what it is today, America's favorite sport and a behemoth of an industry. My name is Ernie Chapman. Football is my passion, and I want you to come along with me each week to explore the yesteryear of the gridiron. So hop on board my DeLorean, and let's get this baby up to 88 miles per hour.
Now here's some quick hitter headlines from October 28th, 1959. The American Football League awards the Buffalo Bills franchise to Ralph C. Wilson. Then in 1961, on October 28th, ground was broken for the municipal Shea Stadium for the New York Mets and New York Jets. October 28th, 1962, New York Giant Y.A. Tittle passes for seven touchdowns versus the Washington Redskins and a 49-34 win for the Giants. October 28th, 1967, per the National Football Foundation website, UTEP backup quarterback Brooks Dawson fills in for starter Billy Stevens, and his first six completions go for touchdowns in a 75-12 victory over New Mexico. Also on October 28, 1995, the 7th annual College Football Holy War, where Notre Dame defeated Boston College 20-10 in South Bend, Indiana. Our birthdays of Hall of Famers and legends centers around the Denver Broncos pair of stars that were both born on October 28th. And we'll get right to it. October 28th, 1966, in Chicago, Illinois, Steve Atwater, the former safety from the University of Arkansas, was born. Atwater was a first-round pick, the 20th overall in 1989 NFL draft by the Denver Broncos. The Pro Football Hall of Fame's website bio says that he was an instant impact on the Broncos' defense in 1989 as they allowed the fewest points in the league that season. Atwater was a first-team All-Pro in both 1990 and 1991. Steve played in the NFL for 11 seasons and made it to the Pro Bowl 8 times. During his career, he recorded 24 interceptions. Steve Atwater had the honor of being voted into the All-Decade Team of the 1990s for the NFL, and the Pro Football Hall of Fame chose Steve Atwater to be included in the 2020 selection class. Another Broncos great was born on October 28, 1972 in San Diego, California. Terrell Davis, a running back out of Long Beach State and Georgia University, was born.
Per his Wikipedia bio, at Long Beach State, Davis joined the football team that was coached by former Washington Redskins coach George Allen. He redshirted his freshman year in order to give him an extra year of eligibility. Davis never played an official game for Coach Allen because Allen died at the end of the 1990 season. Davis played the following season and rushed for 262 yards on 55 carries. Long Beach State eliminated its football program due to budget concerns at the end of the 91 season. Davis then transferred to the University of Georgia, and during his first season with the Georgia Bulldogs, Davis backed up future NFL star Garrison Hurst. After Hurst graduated, Davis became the top running back in the 1993 season. Terrell played seven seasons in the NFL and made it to the Pro Bowl three times, and even was the most valuable player in Super Bowl 32. According to the ProFootballHOF.com, Terrell Davis was selected in the sixth round, the 196th player overall of the 1995 NFL draft by the Denver Broncos. Mr. Davis was a great rusher right out of college, as his season totals of rushing yards were 1,000-plus in his rookie season, 1,538 yards in year two, and he earned the Offensive Player of the Year that year, 750 yards in year three, and he really came on in his fourth season when he became just the fourth player in NFL history to rush more than 2,000 yards in one season. Terrell D. rushed for 7,607 yards and 60 touchdowns in just 78 career games. He added an additional 1,280 yards on 169 career catches and four touchdown receptions. Terrell Davis was enshrined into the Pro Football Hall of Fame in the year 2017. Peeking up at the clock, the time's running down. We're going to go into victory formation, take a knee, and let this baby run out. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you back tomorrow for the next podcast. We invite you to check out our website, pigskindispatch.com, not only to see the daily football history, but to experience positive football with our many articles on the good people of the game, as well as our own football comic strip, Cleat Marks Comics. pigskindispatch.com is also on social media outlets, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and don't forget the Pigskin Dispatch YouTube channel to get all of your positive football news and history. Special thanks to the talents of Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff, for letting us use their music during our podcast.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com.
Hi, this is Joe Ziemba, the host of When Football Was Football, here on the Sports History Network. I'm very pleased to announce that I will be partnering with the Sports History Network to give away two copies of my latest book called Bears vs. Cardinals, the NFL's Oldest Rivalry. To enter, just head over to the following link, sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways. We hope you'll enjoy the numerous stories in the book, which is largely based on the newly released Dutch Sternemann collection at the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Dutch was the co-owner of the early Chicago Bears with George Halas and kept correspondence, financial records, and scouting reports, which now allow us to peek into the management of an NFL club during the first few years of the league's existence. Along the way, we'll meet unusual gridiron characters from years gone by, including a quarterback who could throw the ball farther behind his back than he could throwing it forward, a Bears lineman who was such a good tavern fighter that he decided to enter the boxing universe, and a Cardinals halfback who gave up the NFL rushing title by deciding to not show up for his team's final game of the season. And can we forget the time the Al Capone mob interrupted a Bears-Cardinals game? The new book was fun to research, and I hope you'll enter our free contest today. Once the winners are selected, we'll be in touch regarding shipping as well as to inscribe the book personally for you. This might make a perfect gift for Mother's or Father's Day, or simply add it to your own personal collection. Once again, enter by visiting sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways. Thank you, and good luck!